Yes, promises of God. But then the people who teach that don't teach the other side, that we grow into those promises. Because if we teach only one side, it produces covetousness and greed. And Christianity is not about that. Christianity is about self-sacrifice, dying to self, Christ-likeness. And that's why those kind of messages become popular, because what else is important out there in the world? Material success. So it catches on. So I don't care how popular a message is or unpopular. Let's teach the whole counsel of God. We teach Christians to prosper, and I believe we will be the head and not the tail. Well, the world doesn't belong to the devil and his crowd. It belongs to Abraham's children to be used for God's kingdom. Let's teach that. But also teach that God will deal with our heart. For the higher for you to climb, you will have to probably go through experiences that put your soul as low. If you want to be a Christian that climbs the spiritual Mount Everest and stand there on top of Mount Everest, you possibly have to go through a valley as low as the reverse of Mount Everest, so that your capacity has been tested. But not many came out of that valley. Just a tiny valley, one feet deep. They stumble, they fall, never got up again. Well, there's another verse that supports this area of being balanced. And here we're talking about wealth and poverty. Look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says here, 1 Timothy 6 is one of the verses that everyone who handles money should read a bit more regularly. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says here in verse 6. Let's read verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a statement about balance again. You have godliness and contentment. And what was he content about if you look at the other verses in verse 7? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's a good perspective. So before anyone wants to handle millions of dollars, let them read that verse and realize this. We received nothing. We got nothing when we came into this world. And we will take nothing out. The only difference in between is that this life that we live, the responsibility that God gave you, whether you're born with a silver spoon or born with zero spoon, that whatever you accumulate in this life of your education, your abilities, your skills, or whatever, make sure everything is used for God, because we're not going to take anything out. We're going to take the experience and our faithfulness out. And so, it says here, we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now here's an interesting thing about another that puts you to another principle. I understand that when you exercise faith in certain areas, and it is part of the Bible because it's in the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. So it's all right to pray for things and to exercise your faith. It's part of the stretching, the crutch that you exercise, your faith muscles. But there is a balance. If you're praying very hard for anything, usually you don't get it until you reach a point where you pray so hard that you reach the point where you don't care whether you get it or not anymore. All you want is God. It's a strange paradox, antithesis. At the same time, if you don't pray hard, nothing will happen. So lazy Christians will not end up victorious Christians. They will end up Christian bums. That's all. they are bumpkin in the world, they will just become Christian bums. And lazy people are no use to God. You know what happens? A person who is lazy is no use out in the world and no use in the kingdom of God. So there's no room for laziness in this life. And here's the balance that when you understand Christian principles and you're exercising your faith for them, there is a stage where you got to really desire, because it's part of the faith process. It says in Mark 11:23-24, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Guess what? Only strong desire will make you strongly go in faith for that. So without desire, you wouldn't even bother to be motivated to do all those things or go after those things. There has to be motivation. And motivation in essence is desire. Desire. Except that you want to desire the right things. Don't forget, desire for the wrong things is sin. So desire has to be in our life, but directed correctly. So I'm not talking about wrong desire, I'm talking about the right desire. You still need desire. A lot of Christians don't desire. For example, I'm surprised Christians don't desire revival. I'm surprised Christians don't desire to evangelize. I'm surprised Christians don't desire to be more like Jesus. Something is wrong. Something is not producing the desire in their life. And you know how to produce desire? They need to see an example. For example, this is getting a bit redundant. As I promised Gwen, we'll preach 3 hours today now. For example, if you have lived in an African country where the average house is possibly like a very poor house in Australia, and all your life you haven't seen anything better, so the best house that you have would be something like what we would just look like a flat in Australia. Guess what? If you were there and you're believing your faith, and you see, oh, that's a level, and you would, all your desire is up to that level when you're exercising faith for natural things, because that's all you have experiencing. And then you go to another place where there's beauty in the construction, in the mansion, and you realize, ooh, it can be like that. It's different. Well, maybe that's not so good an illustration. Let's give you another one. Maybe your computer is a 386 computer, about 10 years old. Green skin. You still remember the green screen where the words are green, background is black? And that's all you have. And then I bring you into another place where I show you flat screen, LCD, 8 milliseconds refresh rate, large 21 inch. And before, when you do something, it immediately does it. On your green screen, after you do whatever you want, you have to go for your cup of coffee and come back for if you finish the work. Then I show you the other computer, you say, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Guess what? I just created a desire in your life. You desire for a better computer. Because I show you something better. But there's something better than that. and a lot of people who own computers today, they want LCD screens. Because that's the next thing. They haven't seen what is the high end yet. The high end screens today are double or triple screens on one stand. Haven't seen that yet. They are. And it's one screen with one on the right, one on the left. Ooh. All on one stand, constructed together. So you wouldn't know what to desire if I don't show you. So the reason why people don't desire is because they haven't seen a pattern. So guess what? If there are no patterns around you and you live in a place that is all backslidden, there are Christian histories, books, biographies, men of old, or people in other countries who have done other things, right? They can produce desire in your life. One of the first things that I exposed to as when I was newly born again was good Christian books. And I read about revival, I read about John Wesley's revival, I read about Charles J. Finney, and my heart burned. And says, we want that too. And after reading, getting excited, you look at the world around you, there's still no revival. Guess what? The desire is already produced. Which is what we need. And as the desire is produced, it drives you, it motivates you, it makes you sacrifice to achieve what you desire. So there is, in Christianity, a place where you got the desire. For the violent shall take it by force. So there are scripture verses there. But at the same time, you have verses like Hebrews 2. He that has entered into rest has ceased from his own works. Say, hey, wait a minute. That verse is talking about stillness. And then verses that say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Still and know that I am God. So you have verses on this side that talk about dying to self and stillness. So here's the thing. Until you experience both, whatever you pray for is not going to come. And this is talking from 30 years walking with the Lord and seeing many wonderful miracles and breakthroughs. Small things and big giant things. Until you have experienced both the effort and the rest, it's not going to come. So for many people, when I see them in their Christian life experiencing the effort, I usually give them a pat on the shoulder. Keep on, brother. Because I know they haven't reached the rest yet. And if they go a little bit further, they come to the place where they have expended every effort they know how. And reach a point of completely dying. And then they enter into the second phase of complete rest. Where they don't care anymore. When it comes, whether it comes, however it comes. And they just say, God, it's all in your hands now. Then the answer is close. Then the answer is close. Of course, for some people who haven't even started the effort, all they need is a good pastor's right foot of fellowship. And get them started. You know? And get them off their laziness to start seeking the Lord. And getting the miracles that God wants to bring into their lives. The left foot is for out, the right foot is for motivation. No, I'm just teasing you. And so we have a balance, and you're talking about wealth and poverty. And so Paul says he understands how to be content. Godliness with contentment. And let's read on in verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You know, anyone who listened to the faith message on prosperity need to meditate on verse 9 and verse 10. Because until covetousness is dead and killed, those verses are not going to, the understanding of faith message in prosperity is not going to work for them. Now, to show that he was not against prosperity, says there in verse 17 and 19, same chapter, says, command those who are rich in this present age. So there were people who are rich in this present age, in Paul's time and today, not to be haughty, not to trust in